don't have a problem praying to God. They don't have a problem lifting up God. They don't have a problem agreeing with you that God is good.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. They don't have a problem joining in when you praise God. They ain't got to ask what you praising God for. If you saying hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. That's the kind of people I want to be around. When they you say praise the Lord, they react with praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He says that we are the sheep of his pasture. And if we're the sheep of his pasture, we got to remember that he's the shepherd. And if he's the shepherd, we got to remember the legend of the shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd guides us. He leads us. If we fall, he has a rod. He has a rod for the wolf, that if the wolf come in, he's going to beat the wolf till he die with his rod. Boom. But he has a staff for those he lead. And what does the staff represent? The staff, it represents where whenever it has a crook on the end of it. And what he does is that when a sheep falls through the cracks, he reaches down and he hooks him. And he pull him out of the, and you know, I know this. The reason I'm a witness of this is because I fell in the cracks. And I know the shepherd will pick you up out of the cracks. Lord have mercy here. And you know what else is for? It is for when a sheep, you know, the sheep, if you ever watch how they move and how they follow the shepherd, you got one in the front and then they kind of all kind of pack in behind them. And it's kind of like triangular in the way that they follow the shepherd. But sometimes there's that sheep that get out of line and the shepherd turn around and look. And instead of him saying, get back in line, he just grabbed him, man, with that staff and he yanks him back. And sometimes, you know how I know that? Let me tell y'all how I know it. Let me testify. Because I did this one day. And I realized that I was wrong when he grabbed me and yanked me back in line. But the Bible says, a just man, he falleth 7 times, but he get back up. Do I have anybody other than me that the shepherd has grabbed and put back in line and told you that it's all right?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Father, our God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, Lord, allow the perfect preaching, teaching, ministry of the Holy Spirit to meet us right in your word. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And I want to take a good look at the father of faith. A good look at the father of faith. If you want to know as fathers how to have faith that pleases God, it would be helpful to us to look at the father of faith. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 1, says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Now I want us to look at this text, because as it unfolds further, you're going to see most times this text is preached, the emphasis is appropriately placed on Isaac, the son of Abraham, because he is the one being offered as a sacrifice. But the difference in this picture, even though Isaac is a type of Christ, is that Jesus was a voluntary lamb, and Isaac was going to be a sacrificial lamb only. And in this case here, we're going to see that God did not allow this to happen, because all he wanted to do was to see what was real, not in Abraham's hand, but what was real in his heart. And so when we look at this father of faith, there are many things that we can take note of. And the first thing that we must take note of is the fact that this man had faith in God of the God kind. He had faith in God so real and so in-depth that he was moved beyond his own emotions, his own desires, and his own feelings to do and to obey the voice of Almighty God. The first thing that I want us to see in his faith walk with God is that he is in one right standing with God. In order to have a right standing with God, you must have faith. For the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that he had faith, and that God was testing his faith. God was growing him, and God was grooming him. God was refining him and bringing him through trials, tribulations, circumstances, and situations to a whole new level in his faith and in his walk with God. Now, as we look at Abraham's relationship with God, look at what the word says in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, and the word tempt means try or test, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now look at what the Lord says. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt
offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, he begins by saying, take thy son. But he doesn't stop there. He says, thine only son. Now, here's what you need to understand, because at the beginning it says, and it came to pass after these things, and way into this story, you're going to see that Abraham had another son whose name was Ishmael. And you're going to see that Isaac was not his first son, but he was the only son of promise. At this time, God has spoken to Abraham, and he has severed the ties between Hagar, Ishmael's mother, and his son, and they have been sent away. Now, his son, his first son, his oldest son, is sent away, but this son came in disobedience to the word and the promise of God. So God did not acknowledge him as the son of promise, because he didn't come here like God said he was going to get here. So as a result of that, this disobedience on the behalf of he and his wife Sarah, and taking Sarah's handmaid by the name of Hagar, and went into her and had the child, because Sarah loved him so much, so it was a disdainment when one looked upon a man of the house and his wife was barren. He was looked down upon in the community, etc., etc., etc. But Abraham desired a son most of all. Sarah thought she couldn't give him one, but God had promised that he would receive a son through Sarah. Now, after God didn't show up when they wanted him to, they decided to take matters in their own hands, because Sarah had gone through the change. She had gone through that change of life where she could no longer naturally have a child. But God wasn't talking about giving them a child naturally. When God makes a promise, you got to know that the promise is supernatural from the jump. So what they didn't understand was what God was going to do in spite of what circumstances looked like. One of the things that's interesting about this story is that God allowed every natural and human possibility and or resource to pass by and become fully dead. Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. Sarah's womb was dead for many years. No thought, no hope, no possibility of her ever having a child had far passed her now. So she says, God is good, so I'm going to help him with his promise. Obviously, he can't make this thing happen. So here is where Hagar, her handmaid, her first servant, she gives to her husband, and they conceive Ishmael. But God is not pleased with that. So as a result of this matter, God doesn't need any help. There's a song that says, God don't need no matches. He's God all by himself. He can start his own fire. He don't need us to make up a fire for him. If we desire to trust him, we will know that God can do just what he promised he can do on his own when he gets ready to. So as a result of their sin and that disobedience to the will of God, now Sarah has a baby. And his name is Isaac. And after her dead womb, many years, etc., she's 89 and now 90 when Isaac is born. Now Abraham is 100 years old. And now as the child comes and starts to grow, there is a conflict within the home. Sarah gets mad and she tells him to tell Hagar, hit the road and take her son with her. So now this is his first son now. You got to know what he must be going through as a father now, because he has to put his first naturally born son out of the house, separated. But God honored them and blessed them. But now he only has Isaac with him. Now God tells him, take your son, your only son. Now, he takes only in a new context now, not so much that he didn't have another son, but this is the only son that he has in the house with him now. The other son has been shipped off and sent away and no longer to return, no more to return. So now, the only son that he has left, which is the son of promise, God is saying to him, I know that you love this boy. I know how much you love this boy. But what I want you to do is take your boy and whom you love, and I want you to use him as a burnt offering. Now, what does burnt offering mean? That he ain't coming back alive if he burnt.
He's going to be cooked with the fire. He's going to be offered as a sacrifice. So he says, I want to use him as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. And then he tells them, you just go. I'm going to tell you which mountain as you're going. Look at the word. It's right there. Verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5 says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, comma, A-N-D, conjunction, come again to you. Now you've got to realize that right before this, he has made clear, I and the lad. Now he has faith here now. Now look at this, because God is judging his heart. He sees Abraham's faith and his love for his child. But he wants to be made clear about where he stands in Abraham's life. Now, remember this. If you don't remember anything else in this message, remember this. If you hold on to the giver, you can always get more gifts. I think I'll say that again. If you hold on to the giver, you can always get more gifts. Now here he was. He was already old when he got Ishmael, but he was even older when he got Isaac. And now God is saying, I want you to take this gift that I've given you, this seed of promise, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on this mountain. Now look at Abraham here, dealing with this underneath the skin. God, the one who promised him, the one who delivered, is now going to take him back. Well, look at what you must understand also, because Abraham said, I and the lad will come again after we go up and we worship God, after we go up and do first things first, after we go up and give God his just, we're coming back together down this mountain again. But what does he remember? He does not just remember this present circumstance or situation. His reference goes back to not only when God promised him this boy, Isaac, but what he promised that would come through Isaac. Now, the only reason why he's saying that this God must honor his word and he's not worried that we're going up the mountain, and even in his mind, if he burns him up, if he kills him on the mountain, when he comes back down, he's going to be alive. Now, how do you know that? Because he's the son of promise. God wouldn't let him do what he wanted him to do through Ishmael. And he's not going to send another one, because this is the one of promise, the one that God said would bring forth his seed, which one would extend through all of his lineage. This was the one that God was going to use. So he did not know how, but he did know who. And can I tell you, when you don't know how, it's good to know the who. Listen, if God said it, you don't need to know how he's going to do it. That's not your business. Your business is to believe that he who said it can back it up when he gets ready. And too many of us just want to know, how is he going to do it? I don't care how he does it, just long as he does it like he said he's going to do it. If he's going to provide, then however he provides it is all right with me. Do you know, if I need my rent paid, whether he rains it from heaven or whether he lets me go fishing and I find some gold pieces in a fish mouth, or whether he touched the heart of some brother, some sister, and say, the Lord put it on my heart to give you this. Or if I'm walking down the street and happen to look down on the ground and find a purse full of money, it don't matter how he provides, just as long as he provides like he said he would. Yes, sir. My problem is, I wonder how he's going to do it. We worry about the wrong things. Look at what the Bible says. He says in verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here, don't go nowhere. You can't go up with us, because this is a private thing. This is something between my son and my God. You wait down here. And can I tell you, there are just some things that ought to be private between you and your God. Listen, sometimes folk can mess up your worship and mess up your experience. Sometimes you got to know where to place folk in your life when it's time for you to go to God. So he tells them, you stay down at the bottom here while we go up to the top. So look at what the Bible says again. And said, verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now the second thing I want you to understand about this father of faith and this man who is faithful to God, he began with faith. But how many of you know that you can diminish your faith if, number two, you do not stay focused? He stayed focused not on the problem or the impending problem, but he stayed focused on the promise. Now, I think you need to hear this, because sometimes we don't focus on what God promised us. When problems come, when troubles come, when situations arise, we turn our attention more to the problems than the promise that God made us. Can I tell you, when he makes a promise, he who promised is faithful? And what God wants to know is, how faithful are you to believe his promise? And so he allowed circumstances and situations to arise to see whether or not Abraham would keep his focus on the promise, or whether or not he would lower it to the problem. Look at what the Bible says. And Abraham, verse 6 again, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, term of endearment. Now, it's one thing to say father, but when you say my father, you know, children usually say that my daddy, my mama. And the other person said, that's my mama too, that's my dad too. Yeah, that might be, but I'm talking about me right now. It's something personal when they add the my to that. He says, my father. This thing is so personal and intimate, because what you're also going to note is that they, not only is Abraham in a righteous standing with God, but he's also in a relationship with his son. Now, what are you saying? You can have relations without having relationship. Lord, when y'all wake up. See, how many of you know that you can have a father or a mother and still not have a relationship with your father or your mother? How many times you've seen fathers and children and they have no relationships, or mothers and children, and they are related, but they have no relationship? Here you can see the apparent relationship. You can see that they are used to conversing. You can see that Isaac knows the practices and the principles. He knows that his father does in offering sacrifices to his God. This is no strange thing. He has brought his son with him. They have gone together. They have done these things before. That's why Isaac recognizes this ain't the same as usual. Because every other time when Abraham would go up to offer a burnt offering, he had the offering before he went up the mountain. Now he has the wood, he has the clay, he has the fire, but he doesn't have a sacrifice. And look at what he says, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now look at this man of faith staying focused now. Now, how many of you know this is a point where you can just break down right now? I mean, he's going up the mountain now, but his son is saying, daddy, my daddy, where is, I see what you have, what we use, but I don't see the sacrifice. And I mean, knowing and hearing the tenderness of his voice, trusting him, knowing that God has said, offer him. And he's going up, but he stays focused. He stays firm. And look at what he goes on in the Bible says. And he said, verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, and don't pass over too hurriedly over my son. With emphasis, emphatically, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, prophetically, This representation is, of course, of God the Father and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And Abraham and Isaac are acting out in this story those things that God and Jesus ultimately do in time to come. But here is what you need to see here. Because as the father of faith, this man has gone through an ordeal and is going through one that would either make him or break him. Look again at what the Bible says. He tells him that my God shall provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He had faith in God's promise. He believed what God said. He didn't understand how it was going to work out, but he focused on the promise of God. In focusing on the promise of God, you cannot disobey the voice of God. Because what you need to know is that the voice of God will lead you to the promise of God. Now, what you've got to understand is he said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I above thee. He has made clear that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wanted to see how loyal, how dedicated, how faithful would Abraham be with the promise God made him, for how much he loved him. Now listen, God called out that he knew Abraham loved his son. But it came down to a matter of, do you love your son more than you love me? Do you love what I have given you more than that I am? Do you love that you have received as a blessing more than the one who blesses you? And so this was a test of his faith of the supreme kind. But I want you to see the third thing that a faithful man does. He followed through. He built that altar. He put the wood on that altar. He bound up Isaac. He put him on top of the altar. He took his knife and he was getting ready to slay him. But the story don't stop there. Look at what the Bible says. Amen. Thank God. The Bible says again, verse 10, and the angel, 11 verses, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. As a matter of fact, it was a little loud in that as he was calling all the way from heaven, but I don't want to blow y'all out of here. And he said, here am I. Verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Notice here how they keep emphasizing his son, his only son. You see, the father of faith shows us and shares with us that many times God does not just want your best, sometimes he wants your all. I think I'll say that again. You see, a whole lot of us don't mind giving him our best if we got something left. But sometimes your best will require your all. And he says, give to me your son, your only son. He wanted not only his best, which was the son of promise, but he wanted his last, his all, because there were no others after him. And so when he offered it up to God, not understanding how, not knowing when, not knowing what God was going to do, he believed God. And then God, as he was getting ready to bring the knife down, had a shout from heaven to tell him stay his hand, because the angel said, now I know. How many times in not only in this story but in real life does God just want to see you go through the motions? Because that's all it is sometimes. I mean, do you realize all Abraham was doing was going through the motion? God don't really want what you got. What you got belongs to him. He just want to see if you get. Ever saw a little child eating something? And you say, can I have some? And you don't really want none of that. But you just want to see if the child gonna give you something. And if the child does like this, you say, oh no, that's all right, baby. That's okay. Well, can I tell you, that's how God does us. He knows some of you all are just as selfish and conniving, and he has